760 The Quest. Your Atlantic Catholic Radio presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is a day that the Lord has made, so
let us rejoice and be glad.
Yeah. You're a great background singer, aren't you? You're hitting those high notes. Well, we are the Morning Quest, helping you find joy in the journey. I'm joined by the greatest dream team of all time, Allison DeLule and Dave Savage.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it is a good morning, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, it's a little colder. It's feeling crisp. I got a few extra layers on.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot colder later on this week, though.
Is it?
Yeah, like down freezing and... Yeah.
Freezing?
Below, yeah. You
know,
absolutely.
I don't know if you guys can relate, but it's just, you're barely cutting it close to wherever you got to get next. You think you got enough time, and you walk outside, and your windshield's frozen.
Did that happen to you this morning or
no,
yesterday?
No, not this morning, but actually a few days ago.
Really?
I noticed it was frozen, but actually by the time I got out there, I didn't have to take care of it. But that's, go back in. Get a few boiling cups of water, which I actually hear that's not
you're
good.
Not good.
That could crack your windshield.
That's
windshield.
The bachelor way to do it. Which is probably why I did have to replace my windshield within the past year. That.
I grew up in Michigan, though. So, and I remember I lived in Muskegon, which is on the east side of Lake Michigan, right on the shoreline.
Yeah.
It snowed every day.
Wow.
Every day? From lake effect snow, yeah. So every day you have to go out there and
shovel.
Yeah, you didn't have to shovel.
It was scraper?
A broom would just kind of...
Oh, dust.
Yeah.
So it's a dust.
Yeah. But every day it would snow.
Can you imagine if that happened in Atlanta?
we'd be crippled.
We would be crying in our basements. It'd be like War of the Worlds or something like that, you know? Can you imagine... Remember when we got 2 inches of snow?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole people were just abandoning their cars in the highway.
That was...
Well, hold on a second. The one time, how many years ago was it when that the snow came and everything was crippled? It wasn't the first time, but
in 2014, that was the Snowmageddon where everybody left their cars in the middle of 85. And
I think, you know what? That was crazy. I don't know if you're talking about that time,
that's
Josh.
That's what I'm talking about. My stepfather, a doctor, he slept in his office. Like on one of the patient tables, he didn't go home. He slept there.
Hmm. Well, and I remember being over by Perimeter Mall that day, and I was told that my children's school was going to be closing, and I'm like, what? You know, nothing's going on here at Perimeter. What's going on? As I'm driving north on 400, oh my gosh, the snow was coming down and everything was freezing. And that was the key. I think it was more just frozen ice underneath the snow. So, and I remember going very slow and the car was moving and I'm like, please Lord, give me to my children and let me get me home. It was kind of scary.
Wow. Can you imagine if you were just like a wife and you're like, hey sweetie, I need you to go out and get a few, a little extra milk. And what turned into a pit stop was literally a hostage situation that you were on the highway for 8 hours after that. It was when I remember when that happened, I was hanging out with a friend and literally everything shut down, as you know. It was just, and so we did the litmus test, and this is the litmus test on how great of a catastrophe it is. We went and by foot to see if Waffle House was open.
And it was open.
Because if Waffle House
is closed, then...
Then just forget about it. It is a nuclear emergency. His house is like 2 or 3 miles from the Waffle House, and we put on the most intense Eskimo gear.
You walked 2 miles
and
to the Waffle
hiked
House.
To Waffle. It was like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I mean, it was probably later than that. And it was insane what we saw. I mean, we saw one car crashed into a telephone pole, just abandoned completely in the snow. Other person was stuck in the snow. We were pushing them out. It turned into this adventure. The CNN actually... I think I uploaded the footage whatever when we got back to like some news site. CNN was like, hey, can we use this for our broadcast? And so we get there, and guess what? Waffle House was open.
Wow. Of course they were.
So life
Praise
goes
God, because I'm sure you were chilly.
Yeah.
You know what we forgot?
We need to pray.
Oh my gosh.
But that's okay, because I've got a
best for last.
Amen. I've got a simple prayer of Thanksgiving since into this beautiful, beautiful week. So let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the countless blessings you have given us. Thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. We are so grateful for the gift of life, our families, our friends, and all that you provide for us each day. We praise you for the goodness and faithfulness. May we always have a heart of gratitude and give thanks in all circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Have a lot coming up this week. So
I like that prayer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a reminder of, what is it, James says, count it all for joy when you face trials of any kind, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we have a great show ahead of us today. Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, he is going to be doing two interviews with us today, talking about purgatory and indulgences, since we're still in the month of November, praying for the holy souls in purgatory. Kathy McCormick is going to be diving into the Word with us today. Chuck Persner from St. Michael the Archangel Angel is going to be talking to us about our saint of the day, Saint Catherine of Alexandria. Partly sunny today, high of 72. It's 45 now at 8:06.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father Mark White, pastor, Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, discussing a very timely subject. Father, this is a time we focus on the holy souls in purgatory, especially praying for them. I'm just curious, why is this perhaps such a controversial topic for non-Catholics?
You know, it's important to know what we believe about it, because it really, once you understand it, it really isn't as controversial as people think. I think some of it, the controversy among our Protestant brothers and sisters, has to deal with the fact that purgatory is seen as a second chance. You know, that you don't have to do everything in this life, and then you go to purgatory and you get another chance to be saved. But first of all, we don't say that about purgatory. Purgatory is almost like we would say the front porch of heaven. So you're absolutely guaranteed to be in heaven if you go to purgatory, which we could say is not necessarily a place, but we really say a state of purgation or purification. So you're guaranteed heaven when you're there, and it's a matter of being purified so that you're ready to enter into the fullness of God's love. And that purification happens all by grace. And so that's why it's important that we pray for the holy souls in purgatory. Another thing, though, Josh, to think about it that is important is to know the nature of sin, the double aspect of the punishments of sin, the way Scripture talks about it. So let me read a little bit from the Catholic Catechism. Might help us to understand. It says, grave sin deprives us of communion with God and therefore makes us incapable of eternal life. The privation, or lack, we could say, of which is called the eternal punishment of sin. On the other hand, every sin, even venial, entails an unhealthy attachment to creatures, which must be purified either here on earth or after death in the state called purgatory. This purification frees one from what is called the temporal punishment of sin. These two punishments must not be conceived as a kind of vengeance inflicted by God from without, but as following from the very nature of sin. A conversion which proceeds from a fervent charity can attain a complete purification of the sinner in such a way that no punishment would remain. So a good example of this that I like to use is David in the Old Testament, because you see this really in his life. Most people remember his, you know, kind of horrific sin with Bathsheba, and really he kind of takes her from her husband, and then he puts the husband at the front line of a military combat episode, you know, where they're fighting, and the man is killed and kind of takes her as his wife. Has relations with her. And then the prophet Nathan, if you remember, kind of a guy you didn't want to meet in a dark alley. This was a serious guy. You know, he showed up and he tells him this parable. And actually David, who was really a just man in many respects, is mad by listening to the parable. He said, whoever this person in the parable is, they need to be punished. And the response to Nathan is, you are that man. And what Nathan says is two interesting things, okay, and I'm really paraphrasing. One is he tells David that he's done this, and David said, I've sinned against the Lord, because David was a humble man. He says, he admits it. And he says right away, you're forgiven for your sin. But he says something else. He says, but because you have done this, the sword will not depart from your house. And so while David is totally forgiven, there are consequences that David has to go through. And these consequences humble him, teach him what he did wrong in his life. And they're very difficult consequences. And in many ways, they serve as a purgation for him, a purification, so that he in the future doesn't fall into these same sins. So this is what we mean by temporal punishments. God has used them in his grace to correct us, to change us, and to transform us. That can happen in this life, but if we don't finish that process, we complete it in purgatory. You know, what's funny is that our brothers and sisters that are Protestants, they really do believe in some sort of purgation. Now, how do you know this? Well, ask any good Protestant Christian who has a relationship with Jesus and has a lot of self-awareness. They know they're a sinner, but they also know they're loved by God. And ask them, when you die, are you going to be perfect? Absolutely perfect, without sin, without vices or bad habits or any of that. And most of them will tell you, oh, well, I'm sure I won't. And then you can ask them, well, how are you going to get to that place of perfection where you're ready for the eternal love of God? And they'll say, well, God will do that in an instant. To which we would say, well, that's what we mean by purgatory. There's not a disagreement there on that. It's actually really a grace that God has given us. Because most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't die like St. Therese died.
Yeah.
You know, we don't die like Maximilian Kolbe, you know, singing hymns in a starvation chamber, encouraging people while he's dying at the hand of the Nazis in perfect love and charity. You know, we die with some stuff that we got to work on. And so we can rest in the fact that we're not perfect, not be presumptive. Oh yeah, I'm going to heaven, I'm sure. But know that God isn't going to just cast us out. He's going to purify us and make us ready for something that is beyond our wildest dreams.
Wow.
His eternal love and presence forever with all of our brothers and sisters in heaven.
Well, that's very encouraging to realize. Yeah. There is a transitional process. And on that note, Allison, I think you have a question for Father.
Yeah, Father, you know, when talking about purgatory, do indulgences connect with this as well?
Yeah, Allison, that's a great question. It really does. And this around this time of year, maybe we focus a little bit on indulgences. In fact, why don't I read what the Catechism says on that? Because a lot of people don't know that indulgences are still part of the church. They just know of the abuse of indulgences that did happen years and years ago. And part of what led to some of the issues of the Reformation, indulgences being sold. But we still have them, and people don't understand them. So let me read about what the Catechism says. It says, an indulgence is a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose guilt has already been forgiven. With the faithful Christian, who is duly disposed, gains under certain prescribed conditions through the action of the church, which as the minister of redemption dispenses and applies the authority of the treasury of the satisfactions of Christ and the saints. An indulgence is partial or plenary, according as it removes either part or all of the temporal punishment due to sin. Indulgences may be applied to the living or the dead. So just to give you kind of an idea on how this works is the church has all these merits start from Christ's death and resurrection, basically his passion, death, and resurrection, his sacrifice, accumulated along with the saints and the Blessed Mother, which are all graced. The only reason saints or Blessed Mother is able to be a part of this treasury of merits in the way they live their lives and love is because of God's grace. And the church is with the power of binding and loosing through Peter can distribute graces from this. And so the indulgence is her doing that for us. And what's important about this is that it's giving us an opportunity to even be released of the consequences of sin by God's grace, if we're willing to participate in that process. And the indulgence allows us to do that for ourselves. So it's actually a beautiful gift. We can have a situation, too, where if the conditions are met, a person can be dispensed from all of the consequences of sin. In fact, when I give what used to be called last rites, I do anointing of the sick, often will ask the person they want to go to confession. Anointing of the sick, and then viaticum, Holy Communion, and then I can do the prayers of, for the dying, but I also will give them something called an apostolic blessing, which is, if they're in the right place to receive it, a complete remission of all temporal punishment so that they go straight to heaven. That's actually possible. So we don't have to go to purgatory. Have you ever heard the term, do your purgatory now? So the church says we can do that as well. Indulgences help us in that. So let me just read something from the Catechism on how we do our purgatory now. It says, patiently bearing sufferings and trials of all kinds, and when the day comes, serenely facing death, the Christian must strive to accept this temporal punishment of sin as a grace. He should strive by the works of mercy and charity, as well as by prayer and the various practices of penance, to put off completely the old man and to put on the new man.
Thank you so much, Father Mark White. We are looking forward to picking up this conversation in about half an hour.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
Well, it's about that time for our hearts to be fed by our wonderful, incredible friend, Kathy McCormick, who always just gives a delightful reflection on God's gospel with us.
Amen.
And she is here today to do it once again.
Well, thank you very much, Josh. It's great to be here. Let's dive into the gospel today as Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting two small coins. And he said, I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood. Mm. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Might I say, I wish I could show this reflection to the IRS so they could have a little more compassion on me. I gave all I had, man. Okay.
Gave it all. This gospel certainly speaks to the value of personal sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's not how much we give, but how much we're willing to sacrifice for the support of others.
Mm-hmm.
This reminded me of a story that I need to share. About my mom and dad. You know, growing up, mom and dad always tithed, and it was taught to us to tithe. I remember putting in a little nickel from my allowance into the little child envelope and putting it in the basket every week. And the thing that happened in high school was that my father decided to go into business for himself. So my two older sisters were in college. I was in high school. My little sister was in elementary school. And dad decides to go into business for himself. And he was always in sales. So this business was commission sales.
Mm.
100% commission. That means you only get paid on what you sell.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a while to build up your personal, you know, a small business. It takes a while to build it up. So my mom talked about how those first few months were a little tough. And she said that when she wrote the first tithe from the first commission check that month, the commission check was $250.
Wow.
And they followed the 5% to the church, 1% to the archdiocese, and 4% to others. So she's writing out a check for $12.50 to the church. And she said, Lord, if you want this to increase, you better bless this to business, you know?
Amen.
So, but still, can you imagine $250 for the month and giving $12.50 to the church first? Yeah. And I think that was certainly out of need with all the expenses in a month for a family of six. So I think that teaches me always that we need to just give, to the church first.
And it just time and time again, I see if I do tithe, especially tithe, you know, sacrificially, or at least within that 10 to 15% range, you know, that God just takes care of the rest. It just kind of works out.
It really does.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not a prosperity gospel, but again, there's nothing we give to God that he cannot increase eternally, but also temporally as well.
Well, you know, if you think about sacrifice, the different things we can sacrifice doesn't necessarily mean money. It can mean time, and certainly even a sacrifice of listening. Sometimes it's really hard to just sit and listen to somebody in an active way where we're really trying to pay attention.
Yeah.
When a friend needs help and you're busy, you need to stop and sacrifice all of that to sit down with the friend or someone to be there for them, to be Christ to them.
Even if you're busy, you know, take some time and just give them that attention. And that, you know, and life gets busy, and that's all the time. I feel like things are happening nonstop.
Yeah.
But then I catch myself, and, you know, I might see somebody that I haven't spoken to in a while and reach out, you know, not intentionally leaving anybody out, right? Because life gets so busy, and sometimes you just get in a rut. But yeah, just having eyes to see.
There's a clean comedian named Joe Zimmerman. He's actually on tour with Nate Bargatze. He's from Atlanta originally, but he had a bit that in a way kind of parallels what you're talking about. He said, you know, it's interesting when you're a kid and you make friends with the neighbor and it's like all you need. You're like, yes, we are all we need. This is the best. We're going to climb trees. We're going to do all this fun stuff. And then you go in, your parents make you eat dinner and you're begging to go back outside. Mm-hmm. And he's like, do you remember that when you were that young and you were angry about meals?
Yes,
and bedtime?
I remember.
He's like, that's all I have now.
I know.
You know? He's like, but it's different when you're older. You move into a place and you see the neighbor, the guy next to you in the apartment, and you're like, if this guy talks to me, I'll be furious. but it's the whole point, right? Like how things can change. Our natural posture can be that of, you know, I just distance or isolation. And St. Augustine says, God measures your generosity not by how much you give, but how much you hold back.
Yeah. That's interesting. I always think about, when you think about generosity, I think about parents. Mm-hmm. Parents sacrifice everything for their kids. And it becomes natural.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, Allison, since you have children, you understand.
I do.
There's just time. You just have to be there for your kids.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's, you know, a sacrifice that you lovingly give, but you get worn out.
But yes, you do. But you get up and you keep going.
But yeah, I always think that, you know, giving till it hurts is a parent's job.
Yeah,
For sure. But I also want to talk about a sacrifice of praise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times when life is rough. But I think about giving a sacrifice of praise, praising the Lord anyway. Mm. You praise the Lord anyway. You praise the Lord through the tough times and the good times. But I think that praising the Lord through the tough times is a greater sacrifice, because you recognize that no matter what, like Josh said earlier, no matter what, God takes care of things. Amen. God has a way to carry you through those tough times. And I just think that praising the Lord in those tough times means you're not alone.
Correct.
And it reminds you that you're not alone, that the Lord has you in all of those things. So I would say some of the questions that I would ask myself is, how can I give? You know, Jesus gave all. Talk about his sacrifice.
Yeah, the ultimate.
The ultimate sacrifice. He gave all he had. He gave his mother at the cross, then he gave himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he had for us, for our salvation. So, inventory ourselves today. Mm. How about
that? That's a great point, yeah. And another great thing this boils down to, too, is I think the grace of trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this prayer called the Litany of Trust by the Sisters of Life. Mm-hmm. And here are a few parts from it that I think are relevant. From the fear that trusting you will leave me more destitute, deliver me, dear Jesus. From disbelief in your love and presence, deliver me, dear Jesus. From the fear of being asked to give more than I have, deliver me, dear Jesus.
Fear, yeah.
And we can't outgive God.
Right. Amen.
You really can't. So, have we been generous with what we have? Money, time, the gifts and talents that God has given us? Do we share them back? Do we give them back? And what is the personal sacrifice that I can give as I look to this upcoming Advent season?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we can do as we prepare again, we can't outgive God, but what is it that we really need to do to celebrate the gift that, he's given us? And Mary, our mother, gave over her life to God's will. And she's a true example of sacrificial giving. You know, if you think about her, yes, was truly a yes of sacrificial giving. So let's follow her. And follow her example like we should.
Amen. And when it comes to ministries in the church, you were talking about, you know, gifts that we have. Go volunteer. Find a ministry that, you know.
Volunteer here at the Quest.
Yes, we need volunteers. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, nothing you give to God is given in vain.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always have eternal dividends. And a lot of them you probably won't see, but especially the heart change that will produce. Thank you for reminding us, Kathy, that every time we give to God, we give him our yes, and he will never be outgiven in return.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
At 8:29, I'm Dave Savage. In three incidents this week, parents and students in two districts in California and one in Wisconsin rallied against pro-transgender policies in their school. On November 20th, parents of two students at Martin Luther King High School in California filed a federal civil rights complaint over the school's treatment of two girls who expressed discomfort over a biological male on their track and field team, according to KOMO News. Parents said that the school violated Title IX policy and First Amendment rights of the two girls. One of these girls was kicked off the team and replaced by a male who, according to the complainant, did not meet all of the eligibility requirements for the team and missed practices. The girl said that she lost college recruitment opportunities since she could not compete for the varsity team in an important meet. And AAA estimates nearly 80 million people are going to hit the road for Thanksgiving travel this week. And for some, the weather could interrupt some of those plans. According to the Weather Channel, if you're traveling basically from Atlanta south, you're going to be good to go. There's not a whole lot going on, but in the northeast is good, too. Should be fine. But if you're traveling north to Tennessee, Kentucky, or the Ohio Valley or the Great Lakes, you're going to hit some rain. And tomorrow, all that rain moves off to the east. So if you want to see the weather forecast for your specific travel plans, the Weather Channel .com does have a nice, easy-to-read forecast map for each day through the Thanksgiving holiday.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell. Join Matt Swaim and me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 for the Sunrise Morning Show on AM 1160 The Quest. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:33.
Chuck Kersner, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. And good morning, Josh.
More like great morning with you here, Mr. Chucky.
It is a great morning, isn't it?
It is
good today.
Praise God.
Yeah, we've got a tremendous saint to talk about. You know, throughout the history of our church, we've witnessed a number of young women, in their early teens, really, who took a vow of virginity.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in response to their love of Jesus. You know, we talk about the fact that faith requires a response, right? So you'll hear from time to time the term nuptial mysticism or spousal mysticism. And in fact, St. Gertrude the Great, who I think we're going to get to talking about tomorrow, was fond of using this term to describe the life that she chose, which was considered, she considered herself the bride of Christ.
Mm.
And she lived her life as such. So today we remember and celebrate another young woman who was chosen this path. It was a woman who very well may have chose St. Gertrude as a role model some 900 years later in St. Catherine of Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that Catherine was born around the year 287 in Alexandria, Egypt, hence her name, which at that time was one of the greatest cities in the world. It was the center of learning, culture, and it was a faith-filled stronghold as well. As you both may remember, St. Achillas,
yes,
who we talked about not that long ago on his feast day on the 7th of November, was the bishop of Alexandria until his death in the year 313, so their time in Alexandria may have intersected, you know, in light of the fact that Catherine was martyred in the year 305. Christian tradition tells us that she was of noble birth and possibly even a princess. So as a member of the nobility, she was given the opportunity to be educated, and she wisely took advantage of it and became an avid scholar. And around the age of 14, she experienced a profound vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the infant Jesus, and this prompted her conversion to Christianity. Now, still a teenager, she was considered very precocious and intelligent. And when the Emperor Maxentius, who at the time began persecuting Christians, Catherine, in just an incredible act of bravery, remember now, she was 14.
Mm.
She visited him to literally call him out for his cruelty. And so Maxentius, rather than order her execution, this is what he does. He summons 50 of his best philosophers to debate her. Now, you know, this is obviously done in an effort to...
A 14-year-old.
So, you know, it's obviously done to intimidate her and win the debate that was being held in the court of public opinion, because they didn't want to, you know, torture a 14-year-old girl. Because at this point, Catherine was really starting to gain a reputation for being this prolific Christian apologist in the town of Alexandria. So she was moved by the power of the Holy Spirit during his confrontations, and she spoke eloquently in defense of the Christian faith. And in fact, her words were so moving that several of the pagans who witnessed these public debates converted to Christianity on the spot.
Look
so
at that.
This backfired on the emperor, and they were in turn executed on the spot. So and they knew they would be executed on the spot, but they were so they were converted nonetheless and accepted their fate, which was earthly demise.
Saints in heaven.
So unable to defeat her on the debate stage or intimidate her, the emperor ordered her to be tortured and imprisoned. She was arrested and scourged, and despite the torture, she wouldn't abandon her faith. And you know, the spread to the 200 people that visited her during her visit in prison. So according to some legends, the emperor's own wife, Valeria Maximilia, was converted by Catherine. And legend has it that the emperor eventually executed his own wife. Over her conversion. And again, this is just according to legend. It's debated amongst saint scholars whether or not that was really true. But following her imprisonment, Maxentius made a final attempt to persuade Catherine to abandon her faith by proposing marriage to her. Which fuels speculation that he did have his wife executed, unless he was looking to marry someone while being married. But, you know, she refused this offer because, again, nuptial mysticism was her vocation. And she was willing to go to death to honor that vocation. So the emperor, who is now in a fit of rage, he's at wit's end, right? He orders her to be executed, and Catherine was introduced to the wheel. And Josh, I'm not talking about the Grateful Dead song here. This was known as the breaking wheel, and it was an ancient form of torture wherein a person's limbs are threaded among the spokes of the wheel, and their bones are shattered by an executioner with a heavy rod. I mean, it's a brutal and inhumane form of punishment, and it leads to a slow and painful death. And, you know, the truth be told, it was a method normally reserved for only the worst of criminals. But when Catherine of Alexandria was presented before the wheel, she touched the wheel, and a true miracle occurred. The wheel shattered. So, you know, when this happens, and a couple other saints come to mind, you know, St. Philomena, who they tried to drown, or they tried to, they fired a stream of arrows at her, St. Lucy, who we'll talk about in December, another saint who they couldn't execute, St. Cecilia, who we just talked about, a couple attempts execution that went awry. Yeah, I can't help but wonder if God is asking these executioners. You sure you want to do this?
I know. Convert.
This is my beloved daughter. And it's maybe a sign that we shouldn't be torturing and killing her. And, you know, God, I think, is saying, by my mercy, I'm giving you a second chance here. You know, walk away from this and nobody gets hurt. But unable to torture her, ultimately the emperor did simply order her beheaded in or around the year 305. So that's where we are with her.
So one thing that is really interesting is she had this encounter with Christ at 14, right? You talk about nuptial mysticism. Now, it says that he placed a mystical ring on her finger, again, symbolizing the spiritual marriage. And, I mean, that's if you don't say yes after that to the Lord's call, I don't know what will do it. But that's pretty powerful. You see that sometimes. God, you know, speaks each person's love language. So I think what works to bring Chuck into the fold and help him be a heroic evangelist may be different than what inspires me or Allison to, you know, give God our yes. But he ultimately knows what is that thing or what is that whisper that's going to cause us, you know, to switch dials and go all in.
Well, you know, and there's an optional gospel passage chosen for her memorial, and it really caught my attention, taken from Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna." And you look at her, how she just stood strong, you know, did not waver. It's like, Lord, help us be, help us have faith like St. Catherine of Alexandria.
Absolutely.
Because when you are in those situations, we pray we're going to say yes, Lord, you know?
Yeah. And that gospel passage ties directly to what Josh just said, if you think about it, because Jesus does encounter all of us differently. And that was a special encounter that she had, or that our Lord had with Catherine. But okay, there's the encounter, but then you got to stand tall in the face of the torture.
Yes.
And in her case, the physical brutality of it all. Wow. And she remembered that passage, no doubt. Whereas, you know, those who destroy the body cannot touch the soul.
Yeah. She's the patron saint of scholars, philosophers, unmarried girls. Those are just a few.
And apologists, too.
Apologists.
In light of the episode with the 50 philosophers, one by one. I mean, it's just a funny vision in your mind's eye, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A 14-year-old girl, one by one, knocking off these prolific scholars.
It just shows what the Holy Spirit can do through each one of us, no matter how old we are.
Yeah. And this is so cool. She's became one of the most popular saints in the Middle Ages, and is one of the 14 holy helpers. These are saints revered for their powerful intercession. And you know who she particularly influenced was Saint Joan of Arc. Saint Joan of Arc reported that Saint Catherine was one of the saints who appeared to her, guiding her mission.
Wow.
All right.
Oh my goodness gracious.
There you go. Saints inspiring saints.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Pretty auspicious premonition, if you ask me.
Oh, yes.
Well, absolutely. I think that this is really cool to know that we can have a heroic saint like this praying for us. I didn't even know of this particular saint until you introduced her to me, Chuck. So what a gift. Thank you, pal.
All right. Well, St. Catherine of Alexandria,
pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
And Dave. At 8:42. Typically right now on Monday, we would be doing Monday memes, but being that this is the holiday week, we are going to... we got just an overwhelming response.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the kids at some of the Catholic churches and Catholic schools in the Archdiocese to tell us what they're thankful for, different things like that. So I thought we'd go ahead and do these for the rest of the week here. This is from Mrs. Dion Solon and Mrs. Talman's Sacramental Prep Year 1, 6 through 8 class at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock. What are you thankful for? I am thankful having a loving family. I am also thankful for having Jesus watching over me and my family.
Mm.
Another one says, I'm thankful for my family and music. What's something your family always does on Thanksgiving Day? We always get together and do a family prayer.
Nice.
We karaoke after our family meal.
That's a great idea.
I love that.
Family bonding, singing.
I love that. My family likes to watch a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving every year.
Oh,
that's a good one. Why are you thankful for your parents? They always provide and take me to church. They feed me, take care of me, and help keep me happy. And then lastly, what Thanksgiving food are you looking forward to? Typical stuff, pumpkin pie, green bean casserole, stuffing, butternut squash casserole. And that's it. You've got some too, Allison, don't you?
I do. So mine are from Miss Lynn, Miss Maria, and Miss Sylvia's second and third grade class at Holy Family Parish. Sophie says, I am thankful for having a family that cares about me and great friends. We cook food and we pray. She likes turkey and pie, and she is thankful because her parents care for her. Sweet.
Aww.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. Also, another child in the class. I am thankful for my family. My family just makes food. I like turkey, so I am looking for turkey and thankful for my love.
That's nice.
I know. And then Jonathan, I like this too. I am thankful for my body. Look at that.
Wow.
God's creation, right? The temple of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said something my family always does is cooking the turkey. Mashed potatoes, turkey, macaroni and cheese. I am thankful for my parents because we love them and we should love them. So, amen.
What a gift. This one's pretty neat. I am thankful for hamster, party, turkey, forgetting hamster.
I love that.
And that's from Ivy, who is a senior at Holy Spirit Catholic Church High School. No, it's just second grader from Holy Family.
But I love Ivy. It just gets right to the point. You know, we don't need a bunch of extra words in here. Let's just get right to it.
I had a hamster, so I love Ivy. I love it, Ivy.
Here's another one. I'm thankful for living. My family always has a feast. Turkey, mashed potatoes. I'm thankful for my parents because they provide me food and stuff I need to stay alive. Wow.
Amen.
True survivalist. Thank you, Madison. Third grade Holy Family Catholic Church.
Let's do some more of these around this time coming up all this week.
That sounds great.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:47.
Now let's pick up on our previous conversation with Father Mark White about purgatory and indulgences. Father, some people might claim that the Catholics are just framing purgatory as some other way that we earn our salvation. Is this true?
Cooperating with God's grace is what we're doing. It's still by grace. It's still a gift, but it's a cooperation in that grace. It's also participating in the larger body. You know, I'm not just an individual. I'm a member of this mystical body. Well, my brothers and sisters need my help in purgatory. That's what we call church suffering, right? They're assured of heaven, so they're the holy souls in purgatory. We could add even the joyful souls in purgatory in a sense, but they need our help. Right. So we want to pray for them just and they can pray for us.
Yeah.
Just as the saints, church triumphant, pray for us in heaven. So we're all one body, you know, and we're participating in that body. It's not just me and Jesus, but it's me and Jesus, but also my family as we're all united in the head. So it's a beautiful thing. And it's not something that's disconnected from our relationship with God. It's really kind of intrinsically connected to it. So you want to take advantage of that around this time of year, praying for the souls in purgatory. There are conditions that need to be met, which we could talk about for the indulgence. But it's something that also, by the way, other Christian groups believe in some form of purgatory.
I mean, C.S. Lewis, even in his book, The Great Divorce, I read that and I was like, I don't know if he would perfectly spell out his purgatory, but they were offered a glimpse of heaven and it was each person there had things they needed to let go of if they were going to move forward with heaven. And
absolutely,
it was so beautifully written. I mean, one guy had this lizard that was clinching to his shoulders, which was lust.
Representing lust.
Lust. And an angel with a flaming sword said, can I remove it from you? And he said, I don't know. And the lizard kept whispering in his ears, you need me, you won't be fulfilled essentially unless I'm in your life. And the angel says, can I remove it? And finally, begrudgingly, he says, okay fine, let's be quick because it hurts. I think the sword takes the lizard off. There's actual a burning, which is that Corinthians where it talks about our works are going to be tried through fires.
That's one of the verses that grounds that we use purgatory, that we will experience loss after death. Now, nobody experiences loss in heaven, so this must be some sort of intermediate state.
Yeah.
So that we'll be saved, but it'll be as through fire, because maybe some of the work we did on Christ or some aspects of our life wasn't really focused on him. We were attached to other things. We weren't putting him first. So that'll all be burned up, but we ourselves will be saved, but as through fire. So how do you explain that?
Yeah.
Well, purgatory explains it, you know. So that's one of the verses. There are other things we can look at. But yeah, you're right. In Lewis, he didn't believe it exactly the way we do, but very similar. And I think Great Divorce is playing off of that a bit.
And it's interesting because he was Anglican, right? So obviously, I mean, I guess our closest Protestant relatives, but still Protestant. And here you have that lizard, when it's removed, this man, I think, kind of illuminates and gets on a stallion and flies off
to glory.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's freed. And I think, you know, we say purgatory in a sense, it's not heaven, but it's, like I said, the front porch. Mm-hmm. So it is a part of like moving towards heaven. So you're really not in heaven in that point, but you're headed there. And so that book, how it shows that there is a process of purification and removal, it should give us a lot of hope, because that means that we don't have to be scrupulous and be like, oh my gosh, I have to go to confession every second, you know, and some of us can fall into that.
Yeah.
But we also don't want to be presumptive. You know, you say you want to shoot for heaven. Because then if you shoot for heaven, you fail, you get purgatory. If you shoot for purgatory, you might not make it, you know.
That's the thing that Mother Angelica said, don't aim for purgatory.
That's right,
But to your
aim
point,
for heaven. Aim for heaven.
Amen. To your point about indulgences, I did want to share this really quick, Father. I think a lot of people might look at indulgences and they think, well, this is just some scrupulous hurdle Catholics are placing on the lives of the faithful in order to pledge deeper allegiance to the church. But I'll give you an example where indulgence has really touched me. So around All Souls Day, we had an indulgence where you could go to a cemetery and pray for the holy souls in purgatory and offer up an indulgence for them, a holy soul in purgatory. And I believe this was for 8 days, Father?
I think it's November 1st through November 8th.
Okay, yeah. So I go there, and my father had passed away within the last 2 months. And I go there and I offered my first prayer, of course, for my father. And I went back subsequently several times, but I will tell you something, that there was a tremendous peace when I was in that graveyard. I really felt like I was just surrounded by holy souls. I guess that's the only way I can say it. And there was a rich peace and connection with the Lord. And I feel like at that moment, especially I was praying the breviary, liturgy, the hours out there, I realized at that moment, the church does not prescribe indulgences as some punishment or some stairmaster to pledge allegiance. Mm-hmm. For me, I realized, no, this is a stepping stone to draw nearer to Christ. This is a grace and an opportunity. Just like it Eucharistic is. Adoration or something that we would do to increase our proximity with the Lord, for me, it felt like, wow, this is not an obligation, but an opportunity to draw near to Christ.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, just some resources, too, to mention off of that is one of the things that people, I really encourage you, if you can find this movie, I know it was on the digital website for EWTN at one point, but it's called The Forgotten Church, and it's about the holy souls in purgatory. It's about church suffering. And there's some amazing stories about people who died in pretty bad stuff going on in their lives, but they weren't culpable for the mortal sin because the conditions weren't met. And it's just, there's stories about priests that prayed for them and got some sign from God that they were released using the Mass, which is the greatest prayer. So offering, obviously, an intention for someone, offer a Mass for one of your loved ones who's passed away is so such value. The indulgences, there's a great book. I've seen it in two forms. I think it's two titles, Manual of Indulgences or Handbook of Indulgences. And it talks about all the conditions. It also talks about different ones that are available throughout the year, sometimes the time around All Saints and All Souls. But then you can do year round. You can pray for the holy souls in purgatory. And usually the conditions are something like, I need to receive Holy Communion, I need to go to confession, and I need to pray for the Pope's intentions in like a 20-day period. For plenary indulgence, which is full, you need to have no affections towards sin. So that's described in there. But for partial, you know, which most of us would probably not have no affection whatsoever towards a simple thing, you're always going to get that partial indulgence. So you're right, though, Josh. It's a stepping stone. It's a stepping stone in your relationship with the Lord. It's not some extra thing, or it's something that the church can give us. By her grace and mercy, she does, because it's a participation in the body, participation in your relationship with the Lord, really cooperating with his grace towards your salvation and the salvation of others.
Amen. What a grace. Amen. Thank you so much, Father.
And kind of taking off what you were saying, Josh, about visiting the different cemeteries, I had seen something online showing a gravestone with somebody by it, and it's kind of like the person that passed away saying, don't bring me flowers, pray for me. So when we bring flowers, you know, to a gravesite, let's know that prayers for them is...
Absolutely. Say a Hail Mary or say a rosary.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Mark White, for shedding clarity on these very important topics and reminding us that, hey, we can not only bear efficacious merit towards our own souls, but through the Lord's grace, those holy souls in purgatory who are awaiting the beatific vision.
Praise God.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
Well, you know what I'm thankful for?
What?
You. And you. And you listening right now. It's been a very special hour, and we got more to come. We really should anchor into gratitude this week. We got a lot to be grateful for. We also have some things coming up on our wonderful station today that we can be grateful for. You have any insight into that, Allison?
I sure do. 10 o'clock, More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Thanksgiving Hotline. Greg and Lisa will help you find your turkey, but they've got the recipe for better family gatherings. We're all going to be gathering with friends and family, so great tips on that. And a lot of us might have friends or family that might have fallen away from the church, or even people that have questions about the Catholic Church. There are some great shows to listen to today. 12 o'clock, Father John Ricardo, have lunch with him. Call to Communion to Dr. David Anders. Great show that comes on at 2. Talks about, you know, questions regarding non-Catholics and fallen away Catholics. Anything about the faith. And also 6 o'clock tonight, Catholic Answers with Live with Cy Kellett, your Bible questions with Jimmy Akin. So any questions you have about the faith, I'd like to listen to them to learn more, to refresh my memory.
A lot of times people ask the questions that I'm thinking about.
Yes. And I mean, hearing it over and over again, it just helps your soul and it helps you know the faith and learn the faith better.
And there's nothing you can ask that guy that will make him flinch or shock him. He is an encyclopedia.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, we love you. We'll miss you, but we'll see you tomorrow. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day.